Lesson 12. Church Discipline. Introduction. In Lesson 3, we learned this definition for the local church. The local church is a group of believers that functions as a spiritual family and community of faith, offering the gospel and the fellowship of the church to all who repent, practicing baptism and communion, cooperating in worship, fellowship, evangelism, and discipleship, accomplishing the work of the body of Christ by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, submitted to the Word of God, with unity based on biblical doctrine, the experience of grace, and the life of the Spirit. Now let's consider a definition of church discipline. A definition of church discipline. Church discipline is the church's united, purposeful response to the sin of a member with the fourfold purpose of protecting the unity of the church, standing for truth, protecting the congregation from wrong influence, and bringing the sinning member back to salvation and fellowship. The necessity of church discipline. What happens when a church member goes back into sin but still participates in the church? What if a member does not really believe the foundational doctrines of the church and teaches wrong doctrines? What if a member has done wrong to someone else and will not admit it? Certain churches were rebuked by Jesus because they failed to use church discipline. The church at Pergamos had teachers of false doctrine that should have been removed, Revelation 2:14-16. The church at Thyatira had a woman that Jesus called Jezebel, who led people to commit fornication and worship idols. Therefore, the Lord rebuked the church, Revelation 2:20. The Bible tells us that there can be no fellowship between light and darkness, between those who serve Christ and those who serve other gods, 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. Here we will look at four reasons that church discipline is necessary. Further in the lesson, we will look at scriptural support for these reasons, but we summarize them here to make them easier to learn. 1. Church discipline is necessary because the church must have unity. The unity of the church is based on biblical doctrine and the life of the Spirit. The definition of the church shows how important it is for the members of the church to be in spiritual fellowship. That fellowship is based on their relationship with God and experience of grace. If a person has lost his spiritual life, he cannot have Christian fellowship. If a member refuses to accept truth, repent of sin, or admit wrong, he no longer has unity with the church. 2. Church discipline is necessary because the church must support truth. To allow a member to continue in sin is to fail to support truth. The church cannot stand for truth before the world if its members live in violation of truth. 3. Church discipline is necessary to protect the people of the church from wrong influence. If a member of the church is in obvious sin, yet continues to be respected as a Christian, other members will be tempted to do the same. 4. Church discipline is necessary to restore the member who has sinned. If a member is living in sin and is not confronted, he is less likely to repent. If he is confronted, he may be angry, but later he is more likely to repent. Punishment is not a reason for church discipline. Punishment is not a responsibility of the church. Only God can punish for sin. The action of the church should be for the purpose of correction, not punishment. Directions from Jesus about church discipline. Before continuing the lesson, read Matthew 18:15-20. Jesus gave directions for dealing with conflicts between believers. If a believer thinks someone has done wrong to him, he should talk to that person individually. Most problems are resolved at this point. Most of the time, there has been a misunderstanding. If two believers are honest and humble, they may solve the problem between them. The relationship among believers is valuable. If a person believes someone else has wronged him, the relationship is damaged. He should go to the wrongdoer with humility and kindness and show that the relationship is important to him. He could say something like this: Brother, I appreciate the blessing you are in the church. You are an important friend. But I am concerned because I feel that you did wrong to me. I am talking to you about it only because I want our relationship to be right. Explain the wrong, but be careful not to be harsh and accusing. Be ready to listen and understand. Be ready to forgive. According to Jesus' directions, if someone really has done wrong and will not admit it, the other person should talk to him again with one or two respected believers. Again, emphasize to the wrongdoer that he is loved and that the relationship is important. If the wrongdoer still refuses to admit wrong, he should be reported to the leaders of the church. They should talk to him. If he still refuses to listen, the church should agree together to consider him an unbeliever. To consider a person an unbeliever does not mean to treat him rudely. It means that he is no longer a participating member of the church or leading any ministry of the church. He cannot receive communion because he is to be considered a heathen, verse 17. The church lets him know that they do not consider him a believer and that they are praying for him to repent. After these directions, Jesus gave a lesson on forgiveness, Matthew 18:21-35. If a person admits his wrong and repents, we must be ready to forgive. Directions from Paul about church discipline. Before continuing the lesson, read 1 Corinthians 5. What was the situation that Paul addressed in this chapter? The Apostle Paul gave directions for church discipline for a specific case in the Corinthian church. A member of the church was in an immoral relationship. Paul told them that church discipline is not for people who are outside the church, but for members, 11 to 12. The church was to take action in unity when you are assembled. They were to remove this person from their fellowship. If a person who is called a brother is committing sins like those listed in verse 11, Christians are to refuse to fellowship with him at all. The purpose is to make sure the person realizes that he is not a Christian, and for the world to know that this person is not part of the church. This includes removing him from any position in the church. He cannot be served communion, because that implies closer Christian fellowship than even eating a meal together. Paul implied two goals of this action. One goal is that the church be kept pure, 6-7. It is impossible for a church to be in unity if members are in sin. A second goal is to bring the sinner back to salvation, that his spirit may be saved. If the church continues to accept him as a member while he continues to sin, he will think he is all right and is not likely to repent. He is more likely to repent if the church discipline happens. This action is called delivering him to Satan. There was another case where Paul delivered teachers of false doctrine to Satan, 1 Timothy 1:20. The sinner needs to understand that he is not under the blessing and protection of God. As a sinner, he is outside of the church and a servant of Satan. The life of sin will destroy him if he does not repent. Before continuing the lesson, read Titus 3:10-11. If a person is teaching heretical doctrine, the church should try twice to correct him. After that, he should be rejected. The Bible tells us that this person has already violated his own conscience. Heresies are not small variations of doctrine. A heresy is a false doctrine that contradicts the foundational doctrines of the gospel. We should not be quick to accuse someone of heresy. A person may be wrong in some of his doctrines, yet be a sincere follower of Christ. Before continuing the lesson, read 2 Thessalonians 3:6-14-15. Explain the directions that are given in these verses. The discipline of a pastor. Pastors often are criticized. Pastors are often in situations where they could be accused falsely. It is important for the pastor to build the trust of his people by always being a good example. An accusation against a pastor should not be considered unless there are two or three witnesses, 1 Timothy 5:19. Leaders of a church association or denomination are responsible to keep pastors accountable and should be involved if a pastor is to be examined or removed. They can help to hold the church together at a time when the ministry of the church is questioned. A restoration process. We should remember that one goal of church discipline is to restore the member to salvation and fellowship. The church does not need to make sure the sinning member was sufficiently punished. When a member admits sin and repents of it, the church should have a procedure for restoration. In the case of some sins, if the member immediately admits his wrong and corrects his behavior, he may be able to continue his participation in the church. More serious sins are listed in 1 Corinthians 6, 9-10, including sexual immorality, theft, and drunkenness. A member who commits one of these sins should be removed from membership and any leadership position. The restoration process begins when the member repents of his sin. In the case of a more serious sin, he cannot be instantly restored to leadership or membership participation. Some time is necessary for full restoration. 1. Confession. The member must admit his wrong to those who were harmed, those who participated in the wrong with him, and those in spiritual authority over him. 2. Separation. Wrong relationships must be ended. Relationships that have a wrong influence should also be ended. Any things that are used only for sin should be discarded. Possibly things that have been misused for sin will also need to be discarded. The member should show that he does not want to return to the sin. 3. Accountability. This is the one that takes time. The member should report regularly to his spiritual authority, which may be a pastor or board of deacons. He should be able to report victory over the temptation. He should show that he is being careful to protect himself from falling to temptation. Accountability should be maintained with more frequent contact with a spiritual advisor approved by the spiritual authority. The advisor will talk with the member frequently, possibly even daily for a while. The advisor should be of the same gender as the person being advised. The accountability period should last at least several months. In the case of a moral sin that involved others, and especially if the sin continued for some time, the accountability period must be much longer. During this period, the member should not be allowed to lead or teach in any form. He should be allowed to take communion if his repentance appears to be real. The reason for the time is not to imply that the member is not a Christian. If he has repented, he is forgiven and saved. The time period is so that he can recover from the effects of his sin, build strong spiritual disciplines, and demonstrate a consistent Christian life. The Bible tells us that a person should not be a leader unless he has a good reputation with people outside the church, 1 Timothy 3:7 and 10. If a person is newly converted from a life of open sin, the world must see him live as a Christian for a while before he becomes a leader. Otherwise, it seems that the church is appointing sinners to leadership. The same principle applies to a person who is being restored after a fall. 4. Affirmation. This is full restoration. The member now has the confidence of the church and can participate fully as a member in whatever role the church gives him. More time may be necessary for high positions of leadership, especially for the role of pastor. Church membership requirements. Most churches have a statement of doctrine that goes beyond the foundational doctrines of Christianity. These details of doctrine distinguish a church from other churches. Churches with distinctive doctrines are identified with names like Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Baptist, or others. The differences between churches usually are not heresy, and a person should not be called a sinner because of those differences. Agreement on details of doctrine is necessary for the members of a church to be able to worship together and cooperate in ministry. Therefore, the church may require its members to support its doctrinal statement. They must not say that a person must believe their doctrines in order to be a Christian, but in order to be in unity with that particular local church. If a person does not believe the doctrines of a particular church, that church would be right to refuse him as a member. If a member teaches or argues for doctrines contrary to the doctrine of the church, he may be removed from membership. If a member is removed because of doctrinal differences that are not essential to Christianity, this is not the same as church discipline because of heresy or obvious sin. The church should not say that the person is not a Christian just because he does not fulfill the requirements for membership. If a church has membership requirements that include rules for dress, entertainment, or other behavior, a member may be removed for refusing to keep those requirements. This is not the same as church discipline for obvious sin. The church should not say that the person is not a Christian simply because he is unwilling to commit to the church's membership requirements. Worship leadership and participation. The worship services of the congregation should usually be open to anyone. People should be invited to visit. A church may not allow a person to enter who has disruptive behavior, such as a person who is intoxicated. A church may also not allow a person to enter who is dressed in an obviously disrespectful and indecent way. However, it is important that people not be excluded because of being poorly dressed or because they are not familiar with proper church behavior. It is a tragedy when people feel that they cannot go to church because they do not have clothes that are good enough. If a person is disruptive in his behavior in worship, the pastor or someone appointed by the pastor should talk to him. If he refuses to cooperate, he should not be allowed to be in the services. Sometimes a church allows someone to play a musical instrument or lead singing, even though his life is not a good example. Anyone who leads singing or plays a musical instrument at the front of the church represents the character of the church. If he is living in sin, people think that the church accepts him as a Christian, even though he is sinning. Errors to avoid. There are three errors that people of the church must avoid in dealing with problems in the church. 1. Inconsistency. Some sins seem more serious than others. Sometimes the difference is because of cultural assumptions. A church may have the tendency to deal strictly with some sins, but tolerate others. God calls the church to stand for scriptural truth and not just for the values of the culture. There is also inconsistency in the way churches deal with the various people in the congregation. If a person is from an influential family, leaders may be much more careful in the way they treat him. But the Bible warns us to not favor people because of their status. James 2:1-9. 2. Impatience. Sometimes people in the church think that a problem is not being solved quickly enough. They begin to talk about the problem to various people, even people outside of the church. They complain that leaders are not dealing with the problem. This makes new problems for the church and hurts the church's influence. 3. Lack of love. Some people are happy to find faults in others. They are quick to believe reports of wrongdoing. They judge others strictly, without trying to understand. They do not grieve for the sins of church members. They are glad to have bad news to tell. They are not sorry about the harm that is done to the testimony of the church. Every pastor and teacher should speak against the sin of gossip. He should teach his people to hate gossip and refuse to listen to it. If a person loves God, the church, and his brothers and sisters in Christ, he should see sin as a tragedy. He should hope that a report of sin is not true. If it is true, he should desire to see the sinner restored. He should help prevent harm to the church. He will not spread the news more than necessary. 7 summary statements. 1. Church discipline has the fourfold purpose of protecting the unity of the church, standing for truth, protecting the congregation from wrong influence, and bringing the sinning member back to salvation and fellowship. 2. A member who sins and does not repent must not be considered a believer by the church. 3. The purpose of church discipline is not punishment, but correction and restoration. 4. The Church should not consider every person who disagrees with its distinctive doctrines and membership requirements to be a sinner. 5. The steps of restoration are confession, separation, accountability, and affirmation. 6. Restoration takes time because the member must recover from the effects of his sin, build strong spiritual disciplines, and demonstrate a consistent Christian life. 7. The Church must guard against inconsistency, impatience, and lack of love.